Welcome to the Next Generation Legal Solutions Index podcast. This is hosted by me. I'm Ben McGuire. I'm a partner and the managing director of Simmons & Simmons Solutions. And really happy today to be joined by Lucy Sherwood, who is a partner in our Wavelength team, our legal engineering and data science team. And just to give you a quick recap, we launched the results of the Next Generation Legal Solutions Index in May. And the aim of that research was really to lift the lid on the challenges facing in-house legal teams across multiple sectors, to understand their expectations of the services provided by the law firms that they instruct, and to gain some insights into their staffing, organization, and their use of data. We surveyed about 511 GCs in UK firms with a domestic and international presence. And before we start to talk about some of the specifics in that area, Lucy, first of all, welcome.
Thank you, Ben. Nice to be here.
So we're going to talk about today some of the challenges that we think have both been surfaced through the index and the results and the things that GCs have told us as a result of those of that survey. But also, I understand they've really chimed some of these with you. We've just been through the sort of classic summer autumn conference season, and I understand that quite a lot of these issues have come up in conversations with clients, Lucy. What are some of the top issues you think and challenges that sort of cross over from the survey to the discussions you've been having?
Yeah, so it's really interesting, having spent the last few weeks in conferences talking to clients, and particularly off the back of a hugely successful Legal Geek conference this year. The themes that were coming through in the survey were very topical. They link very closely with discussions and also some of the sessions that are being presented at conferences. And it just shows how much this is an industry-wide consideration for lots and lots of our general counsel clients. The really strong themes that come through in that survey are technology and data, the desire for better use of technology, and also having a better grip on data. And my background is in working very closely with financial institutions and financial markets clients, and the legal teams in those businesses are really challenged in these areas for various reasons. So it's really interesting to look at how some of the themes that the survey reveals could be approached by legal teams in those particular sectors.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really a question of there's so much promise, but there's quite a lot in the way, isn't there, of realizing what's available and what we can do to take advantage of all of these things. What do you think are the top challenge facing the legal teams at the moment?
You have to acknowledge budget as a real challenge for legal teams. They never have that much budget. They are largely seen as a cost centre, and they struggle to get their requests for technology developments up to the top of the list, which is understandable. Generative AI in particular is hugely topical, but in the current climate, in-house legal teams are unlikely to get much, if any, opportunity to develop these. They're looking at use cases, they're putting them forward into the hopper that their organisations are running, but the legal use cases struggle to make it to the top of the list. They also often don't have access to premium services that private practice lawyers have, where generative AI tools are being developed. So, for example, we all know that many of our knowledge providers are building generative AI capabilities into their tools. Often in-house lawyers don't have access to those tools. So you end up potentially with a two-tier system where private practice lawyers are exploring, learning how to use these new tools, really getting to grips with them, whilst in-house lawyers are almost at the back of the queue, peering over people's shoulders, trying to see what's going on. That's concerning for in-house skills development, but it also limits in-house lawyers in understanding how they can use these new tools to improve efficiency, reduce legal spend, make better use of data, all things that came through in the survey as being very important.
And there's an interesting paradox there, isn't it? Is you know, quite hard to deploy these technologies and skills and capabilities because of a lack of budget. But actually, one of the benefits of that, that I think you've picked up on, is, you know, the ability for clients to have data decision, data driven decision making about who they instruct and the best pricing models and so on. What sort of thing have you heard in, you know, from clients about that challenge?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, that's absolutely the holy grail. And a really strong theme in the survey is that those instructing external lawyers want to have data upon which to base their decisions about. And that includes things like who to instruct, but what pricing options might work in a particular scenario, how firms are performing across the board. Those are really important to the GC population. But in reality, we are a very long way from that kind of data-driven decision-making being available. Lots of teams are now using legal spend management tools, and they're a helpful starting point, but they don't generate very rich data that can drive powerful decision-making. So, for example, just knowing how much you're spending with a particular provider on a particular type of work, it's better than not knowing that at all, but it's not really giving you that wider context around what does the work involved, how was the pricing structured, what was the performance like, were the KPIs met, were there even KPIs applied to begin with. So spend is an important metric, but it's only one metric. And as the survey shows, clients really value other factors: responsiveness, technology capabilities, what skill sets are employed. It's not just about providing top quality legal advice. That's a given now. But clients want to see whether appropriate skills are brought in, project management, maybe some business analysts. And that, at the moment, is generally not particularly well measured. Getting to the next stage on this is going to require a change of mindset, some hard work, and a lot of collaboration, because what we need to do is agree a richer set of metrics which are used to measure performance. It's no longer just about bland, how much did we spend, did we get a fixed or capped fee? And you need a more honest appraisal of what's important. What does good delivery look like? If clients are saying they want us to use more technology, are we using it? Is it making a difference? And it will benefit all of us, I think, if we can bring some more transparency to this opaque concept of having data-driven decision-making.
Yeah, and it's interesting you talk about the tech there, and it's sort of it's a running theme, isn't it? The ability to invest in these areas, because one of the other issues that arises from both the index and the conversations you've been having, I think, is the challenge of actually getting access to technology, either in-house themselves or through the third-party providers. Can you just say a bit about that challenge and what clients are facing at the moment in through your conversations with them?
Yeah, this is where I think it's particularly noticeable in the larger financial institutions. There is an interesting contrast between sort of some of the bigger institutions that we all know and love, and then some of the new entrants who are coming in almost clean, and they don't have the challenge of legacy systems and lots of different technology solutions. What I tend to see and hear from clients is, even where they work in some of the most technology-driven businesses, and arguably banking in particular is a really good example of where technology and data is really shifting the sector a lot, those businesses will have amazing customer facing technology. But if you look at what their legal teams in particular are using behind the scenes, it's often quite old, quite clunky, lots of different legacy systems, often lots of different sources of data that don't necessarily match, some really you know, limited options in terms of how they store and use their data. And again, particularly relevant to global organizations who quite frequently have different setups in different locations, which doesn't make it easy to look at things on a sort of holistic global basis, which is what they all want to do. Bringing new technology into these environments is so hard because you've got legacy systems that will need to be replaced in lots of different locations, and often teams with slightly different needs across those locations. Combine that with the very necessarily high level of security and assurance that these institutions require. Throw in the fact that legal isn't really ever at the top of the list for this kind of support, and you make it almost impossible for the legal teams that we work with to get their hands on the kind of technology that, for example, some of us use in financial services. And interestingly, I've seen several early stage technology businesses pivot from trying to service financial institutions direct to selling to their lawyers, because the challenge of onboarding with a financial institution was so great that they decided to give up and go through their advisors instead. And this all limits the ability of legal teams in these businesses to maximize their efficiency, keep up with 21st century practice, and make sure that they are really using the tools that they need to deliver a really good service. So take extracting and using data, which featured really highly in our survey as something GCs already do or they want to do very quickly. This capability has existed for ages, and now for a lot of us in private practice is absolute second nature. We wouldn't open a document and root around for the clause we want. We'll use a piece of technology to surface it so that we can review it. But this is still quite rarely used in-house due to a combination of budget constraints, technology challenges, onboarding issues. So lawyers in-house are left having to go external, use third parties. And we've done this for a lot of clients, deploying this kind of technology across different projects. But relying on your external counsel to provide data back to you is not really very efficient, and it never provides the same universal value as having the ability to analyze your own data as and when you want to. So I think it's really important for in-house teams to find a route to getting their hands on the technology that they need within the constraints of their organization. And I don't underestimate how difficult that is.
Fantastic. Thanks, Lucy. So we're drawing to the end here, really, of our time. I think that's been really insightful. So I guess one sort of final question, what's the key issue, what's the key secret sauce, if you like, that we would impart to our in-house counsel colleagues and friends about what they can do in order to start to overcome these challenges in terms of, the budget, the decision making and the ability to access this tech?
I think it's the same theme that those of us who have been in the sort of legal engineering and legal technology market for a long time have always said. It's all about collaboration. Changing across our industry is not going to happen because a handful of law firms or in-house teams try and do it. It needs us all to come together, work together as lawyers and clients who want to deliver well for the businesses we work for and find ways of solving some of these challenges.
Fantastic. Great message to end on. Thank you very much, Lucy. Fantastic to talk to you as always. And thanks to all of you for listening.
Thank you very much.